So, if you could start by talking about what brought you to the Capitol in the first place, kind of what led you there.
Sure. So that's actually like specifics, actually. There's a very specific answer to it. It's my friends have been posting about on Facebook the rally of it was like give your the, it was like the Valentine's Day one, like tell Walker don't break our hearts, deliver Valentine's to the Capitol. And I was like, oh, this is dumb. We're gonna go to the Capitol and give them Valentine's cards. This is like this is useless and just a gratuitous sign of how we're just getting we're sad about whatever's happening. I thought it was dumb. And then the next day after that, I think there was a rally, and again it was posted through Facebook. My friend Sarah Chu, who's an international student, posted it on the wall and on my wall, maybe on her wall, and I reposted it on mine. And so I felt like if I'm gonna get involved, I might as well, you know, go to the Capitol at least once, if I was gonna post about it on Facebook and be in on it. I should hold myself accountable. And so I mean, like, originally I'd heard about it through Facebook. I'd heard about the protests through Facebook. And then I think the thing that really motivated me about it was just like the way that students can get screwed over so hard because of the bill. If they wanted to like do something with our tuition remission, if they wanted to do anything with our contract, they could in order to do balanced budget excuse X or whatever. So that was like my original impetus. I was like, oh, that's not good. International students can get exported. Graduate students can get tuition remission removed. All that horrible stuff. And so I went to the Capitol on the first day and protested. On the first day, the day after the Valentine's Day, so like the 15th or so, I guess, over 15th. And that, yeah, it was just because I thought it was bad for grad students, and I heard about it through Facebook.
So what was there anything that kept you there that was convincing, I guess, that caused you to stay and do more?
Good question. So originally, no. Like, my friend, like, I even told Sarah, I was like, I think that protests are kind of useless and that we should do more direct action. And she was like, yeah, I can see that. I can see why you would want to do more than just protest. I was like, I'll go out and I'll protest, I'll stand out there and whatnot. But I think that that's like protests are a 20th century tool, and that in the 21st century we can do other things. And so I wasn't really enthusiastic about it, and I went out. And somewhere in there, I got caught up in the flurry of like I don't even remember what, like how the transition was. Tuesday was a was it a Monday? It was February 14th. I can't remember what day of the week it was, but it. Somewhere in between the day after the first day I went for protests, and then like a few days in, all right, I remember this. I remember going there at 8 o'clock in the morning one morning, and the TA, a bunch of members of the TA had slept over, and I was like, "Is there anything I can do to help out?" And they were like, "We have, like, who are you, first of all? Like, why are you in this room?" It was 300 North. And they had no organization of like what new people should be doing, and I ended up sitting around for like the first hour of the day, 2 hours of the day, and then like just trying to help out, like what can I do? Is there anything going on here? And about halfway through the day, they had started to collect names. They needed someone to go stand outside and collect names for people who were pledging to recall their senators, and I went out and I did that for like 5 hours on that day. And after that, I was like, wow, I actually did something helpful, I hope. And so I think after that, I started to get more invested. I was like, all right, there's like there is an organization here, mm-hmm. they are doing things, and they're doing things that can potentially be helpful. So that was like one of the first few days that I was out there, was standing outside and collecting names for mm-hmm. Pledging to Recall Your Senators. There's no like, yeah, I just got caught up in it. I guess there's no real like, there's not a reason why I kept coming back.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other reasons, like anything else that you got caught up in, I guess, so to speak?
So there are things that I got caught up in, like there are reasons why I wanted to help out,
mm-hmm.
like as I thought about it more and more, as I learned more about it, but that's like that they were more like galvanizing than they were like
mm-hmm.
anything else. So it's like my dad, I called my dad and I talked to him about it a little bit. My dad, like, he didn't go to college. He's an electrician. He worked for a power company. He would, like,
mm-hmm.
climb telephone poles. So, he's in the electrician's union.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him going to union meetings, like, growing up, and
mm-hmm.
him coming back and be like, oh, there's some vote, whatever. Like, I don't, whatever. Unions are, like, the union makes dumb decisions sometimes, but he would always go. And I called him up and I talked to him about it. He gave me a good spiel. He's like, you know, I've been in the union for 20 years. I always paid my dues. You know, just don't throw any rocks, but do what you gotta do. and he's got a funny accent like that. But he that's like, he's like, if I have to bail your ass out of jail, I'm gonna kick your ass. All right, Dad. So he was behind me in it. Yeah. So. Like, just thinking, like, I saw the electricians union out there. I was like,
mm-hmm.
oh, these guys are like my dad. Like, they're a union. I mean, like, they're obviously, there's going to be a private version, and maybe,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I don't know how the electricians union works. I know that there are electricians that work for EW and stuff. But, like, the idea that this is an attack on unions just kind of bugs me because, like, I've grown up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've grown up in a town that was, like, you know, relatively middle class, blue collar, union friendly,
mm-hmm.
and the idea then, like that coupled with the way that the bill was being pushed through, the way that the government was going about it in such a shady fashion, just really galvanized me. Like, it just, I was like, this is
mm-hmm.
not happening. This is not happening on my watch. That was really what kept me going. It was like just the immorality of the government trying to do, like, to force some agenda that they believe was righteous,
mm-hmm.
and that agenda includes breaking the backs of unions, which for the most part are, you know, blue collar working class families,
mm-hmm.
and that I think was just bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the reason why I got in. That's not the reason why I got in, but that's the reason why, like, I got in so deep.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like this was a moral attack.
Mm-hmm. Are there any experiences or conversations you maybe had at the Capitol or with other people who were involved that you remember as specifically contributing to that?
Talked with my advisor a lot about it, and that was in and around the Capitol. So, like, after going out and, you know, picking up trash or whatever the heck, going and, like, having a drink with my advisor and with another guy in the program named Ryan, and we would talk about, you know, what was this an example of, like, what is this, what's happening here, and, like,
mm-hmm.
what is the meaning behind this, like, and my advisor is really, he's much more politically involved than I am. He's usually, like, a step ahead as far as going out and trying to, you know, find out what's happening politically and
mm-hmm.
making sure that, you know, things aren't going crazy, and we talked about that. There's a night at Cooper's Tavern, which was like, it was a Saturday night, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
No, Saturday night I was with Ryan. It's like a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
there's a Friday night where we went to Cooper's Tavern, and just like sat around over beers and talked about what was happening, and how we can do something, how we can change it. So part of the thing is that what we study is video games with respect to civic activism.
Mm-hmm.
How it is that we can get students going from gaming to doing things in the real world and
mm-hmm.
making a difference in their communities.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a topic of study that we've had come up. I mean, it's this is where we like put our money where our mouth is and say either like we need to be out there doing things or we need to shut up about like being civic activists.
Mm-hmm.
Because how can we advocate without participation?
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about, you know, like, what could we do? What's happening here? How do we classify? Like, and I guess there's a point there where I actually started to believe my own crap, the stuff that I was spinning, right? It's like the idea that this is a moral attack
mm-hmm.
is I didn't believe that, I don't think, at first.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that it was wrong, but I didn't think of it as, like, I didn't frame it as a larger attack on the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
But then we thought, like, how do we frame this so that it can sustain itself beyond this bill?
Mm-hmm.
How do we frame it so that we can sustain and, like, get momentum for pushing back on all of the things that are happening, no matter where they're happening, around the state, around
mm-hmm.
the country, with regards to the increasing, like, wealth disparity in the country?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of this stuff comes from conversations like that I had with him, that I had with Ryan, that I had on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good chart that, who was it, like Chris Sinoir pointed me towards, I think, that he posted, or I think it was him, somebody online, and it was pointing at like the huge and growing difference between people that have a lot of money and people
mm-hmm.
that don't, and it's been growing for the past 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So specific events, that one night at Cooper's,
mm-hmm.
hanging out, drinking beers, trying to figure out what we can do to change the world while drunk.
What is your advisor's name, by the way?
Kurt Squire.
Okay, just for the record.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any more emotional experiences you had? I mean, so far you've talked about, it just seems like you were kind of very cognitively active and like thinking about all of these issues very hard, but was there anything that was more, I guess, kind of like just feeling it, like something that impacted you emotionally rather than, I don't know, caused you to just like mentally engage immediately?
Yeah. We're handing out flyers and trying to get names. Me and Ryan Martinez on the top of State Street on like that one of those first days. It was probably like the first or second day that I volunteered like a decent amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Looking down State Street towards the university, I remember seeing the undergraduates marching up State Street in like en masse. And thinking like, oh, holy shit, like, this is awesome. These guys, like, this is what it looks like to have people support.
Mm-hmm. Keep talking.
This is what it looks like for people to really, like, rally behind a cause. Because, like, the undergraduates came down, and I was like, wow, this is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then the high schoolers came down,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, wow, like, this is not just, this is not just Madison, or if it's just Madison, it's Madison and some surrounding areas. And then the firemen came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just like that build. It's very like photographic to see like a whole mass of people walking towards the Capitol down
mm-hmm.
State Street. That's a really great image. And that was like where I really felt it, because I'm standing there, you know, yelling at people, handing out flyers, like, you know,
yeah.
pledge to recall your senator. And then like, you look down State Street and there's people like screaming, marching with signs, like coming straight at you for the same cause. And it was like, wow, we're in this together. And is what it felt. Yeah, it felt very like. Yeah, and then the firemen coming marching around the square was another point. On that same day, with their bagpipes, and that was another point where I was like, wow, it's not just us. It's not just like us. It's not just like highfalutin academics. This is actually it. And then, and there are so many points within, like in the Capitol, there are so many points where like I was practically moved to tears, screaming, like everyone's like just outraged at the audacity of Scott Walker, of the Fitzes, right? There's so there are so many points where like they're making some announcement and everyone's just like, really? Like you're telling us that we're from out of state? You're telling like these teachers that drove in from Milwaukee that they don't belong here, that they're thugs? Like come, like the outrage is just so apparent. And those, I remember like outside the Congress room, just like literally being moved to tears, being like, this is it. Like, this is the fight of our generation kind of thing. And I, like, maybe that's bullshit, but that's, whether or not it's the fight of our generation is bullshit, but I know that, that's the first time that I was ever like moved to tears for politics.
Do you remember what night that was? Like, what was going on? What was the context?
Yeah, there was, that was one of the nights that, that was more recent. That was the night that the assembly, so it was the night that they called the meeting at 6 o'clock. They announced it at 4 o'clock, that one. That's the one that's going on right now in terms of being in contention for violating the open meetings law. It was that night, that meeting. I think it was the night that was the assembly voting that night?
I think it was the Senate.
It was the Senate?
Yeah.
At the 6 o'clock meeting, and they came in, they voted, they passed it, and it was the night that like the video of like Barca like demanding that they stop came out as well, and like I remember watching that video at home and being like what the like what is going on here? It was just that was I was standing outside the Congress room door. I remember like literally like right outside the door. I remember there were state policemen there and they were like, what's going, like they were like, what just happened? And like one of the cops was like, one of the officers, the troopers was like, this is just dirty politics. And like, it was just so disheartening to see the politicians ramming, like doing all of that, playing the game rather than listening to the people.
Do you think that, changed how you were involved from then on? Was there any kind of shift in that point? Since it sounds like this was, I mean, it just in your kind of political life in general, that this was a big turning point. So do you think that it was different after that, how you were engaged with activities in the Capitol?
I think like it's been different. I'm not sure if that was like, I wouldn't put money on that being like the turning point. I mean, like, maybe it was. Maybe it was the thing that really took the wind out of the sails on that one. But it was... because I haven't been involved really heavily since then. But, I mean, there are a bunch of reasons why I haven't been involved really heavily since then. With regards to working with an organization like the TAA, with regards to working with an organization like Defend Wisconsin. And I'll put air quotes on organization for DW. And then... without, like... I think that was a point where I just felt very defeated. But I'm, and so like the shift, was, you know, like there's not much more we can do now here. The fight now moves out to the states, to the counties in the state. And that was the, it was, you know, now we just need to recall. We need to recall as fast and as hard as possible and get everyone out. And just clean house. And like strategically, that's the next move. That I knew that that was the next move, and it was just like despair of being at the Capitol. It's like, fine, all right, we're done here. They're gonna do what they want, obviously, and not listen to us. So let's do the next step. Let's move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it was really sad.
Mm-hmm. So what has your activities, or what have your activities been like since then?
Prelims.
Mm-hmm.
Grad school. There was a week where we set up Defend Wisconsin, where I was sleeping like 3 hours a night and going to the Capitol for 20 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a total burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just crazy. And then I left. I went to California for a conference. I came back. That happened. And then I just kind of like put my hands in the air and said, all right, listen, I've got to get on with my life for a little while. I was in the middle of preliminary exams. They're due at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't not do those, because it would, like, it's not getting those done is going to push me back a whole year in my career.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to catch up on all the work that I missed. Doing all that stuff around the Capitol it stopped me from doing my work for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have to cram all that work back in.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks. I mean, and then concentrating on work was just impossible, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're checking Wisconsin Union Twitter feeds, and you're checking Facebook status updates, and you're calling people, finding out what's going on. There was still meetings. TA had stupidly long meetings, 5-hour meetings, right? Like, there's 2 weeks being literally like physically around the Capitol, but then another like 2 weeks of just everything in the air. Right? So this has been the worst semester as far as productivity.
Yeah. Could you just talk a little bit more about what those 2 weeks that you talked about, where you were working on the website, where you were at the Capitol all the time, just kind of what was a typical day like during that time?
All right, being around the Capitol, the first week being around the Capitol was just like protests, and I was trying to find a way to plug in, like, how can I help out?
Mm-hmm.
I found this dude, what's his name? It's not Rickman. So there's a guy that had previously worked with some other campaigns, and he's running the phone banks at TA, and he was organizing voter system vans.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used that a little bit in the past. I helped out with the Obama campaign in 2008,
mm-hmm.
Using vans to organize names and numbers of volunteers and whatnot. So I recognized the system, and I was like, oh, hey, like, I have a little bit of experience doing that. He's like, so you won't have to train me as hard. Like, is there any way that I can help out? So in that first week, that's like, I just tried to do data stuff and go outside and help out when I could and come back and do data stuff, whatever. There was a point there, though, where like, I was getting really frustrated with the way that the TA was bad about publishing information on the web.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, I'm a total nerd, and I want my information online readily available.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I go? What do I do? What do I bring? What do you need? You look at the TA website, and their calendar hadn't been updated in 2 months. Mm-hmm. And you look at the Defend Wisconsin website, and it's a blog, not an information repository that tells me how to volunteer. And I didn't know where to go and what to do. So we set up, I went to one of my friends, who is a computer scientist. I'm getting to the,
daily.
Went to one of my friends who's a computer scientist, and I was like, listen, this is the problem that I think is going, like, one of the problems that I think is happening here. And he was like, well, yeah, that is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We can fix that, with a website. And we sat down and hashed out what the needs were of the website, and then how it would work to solve those needs. And then we decided that we would just need to get access to Defend Wisconsin's website or the TAA website.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sunday night, first day of the second week, Sunday night rolls around. We went to a TAA meeting that lasted like I went to a TA meeting that's 2 hours, left halfway through, got Kevin, came back 2 hours later, and they were still having the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Stupidly long meetings. And we got them to agree that we can take over basically the web stuff, or mm-hmm. help out significantly with the web mm-hmm. stuff. And Sunday night at 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, Sunday night around like Sunday night, we got the information that we needed, logins, passwords, and we worked until 6 o'clock Monday morning,
mm-hmm.
revamping the whole website.
Mm-hmm.
So the typical day is going to be tough now because things get crazy. Like, so Monday at 6 o'clock, we finally get the website up and running,
mm-hmm.
As to the way we want it. I think I went home and I slept for a few hours, came back at like 11,
mm-hmm.
And then between 11 and Tuesday, 11 on Monday and like Tuesday, worked on updating the website with relevant information around protests, around like, you know, where people could meet, what people can bring, what kind of supplies, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Tuesday we got picked. So the problem was that we weren't able to access the website from the wireless network inside the Capitol,
mm-hmm.
and that got picked up by some major news sources. That was CNN, MSNBC, I think HuffPost ran an AP story,
mm-hmm.
And we slashed out it on Tuesday. We went from like 1,000 page views, like 1,000 views to 10,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
We went from like 6,000 page views to like 80,000 page views.
Mm-hmm.
Some like so 1,000 like visitors to like 10,000 visitors per day,
mm-hmm.
Literally like overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And we had we didn't have the server capacity for that,
mm-hmm.
And so that made Tuesday pretty hellish. Figuring out, so the problem is that like one of the issues is that Kevin was off site doing a lot of the website work,
mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the website work needed a good internet connection, obviously,
mm-hmm.
And you couldn't get that at the Capitol. The wireless there was complete hell. So I was on site trying to wrangle all the information about what was going on, find out who had information, find out, you know, like where I can get more information about protests,
mm-hmm.
and then feeding it back to Kevin,
mm-hmm.
who was working off site. So for all of Tuesday, we basically worked on getting the website back up. Alex, the TA president, was also around helping out with that. So like we had to upgrade from upgrade the Dreamhost account.
Mm-hmm.
So a regular day was putting out any fire that came up, and so that meant just like finding out information about what was going on with the Senate, finding out information, the senators, the Senate, the assembly, finding out information from other union leaders, from our, like the TAA. The TAA is a really weirdly organized structure.
Mm-hmm.
Finding out who has what information, creating jobs. There's a person that was supposed to, like, there's no one right now, at the start of it, there's no one that was like sort of organizing the material supplies that we were getting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I found John, and I was like, you have a new job.
Mm-hmm.
I just made it. And it's to organize all of the food and supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, like, let me know who's giving it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I could put the, like, a thank you on the website for
mm-hmm.
it. Let me know what you need, and we can put a request up on the website
mm-hmm.
for it. So, like, finding out ways to get things organized. So the typical day was something like work from, like, go get to the Capitol as soon as I can when I wake up, 10
mm-hmm.
o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, go sit in the corner of 300 North, find out the information that I needed, update the website, and do that straight up until 2 a.m., 3 a.m., find some, like, go home, sleep somewhere, wake up as soon as I can, go back,
mm-hmm.
Just do that.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I was up to.
Mm-hmm.
It's boring.
Could you describe a little more where, like, what your sources of information were, and how you would find out whether it was, like, what was going on just politically in terms of the Senate and the Assembly and that kind of thing, or more, like, information about like mobilizing people and organizing things, mm-hmm. where would you look for that?
So some of it came from the TAA. Members of the TAA were doing organization mm-hmm. stuff, like trash pickup was one of the things. And that would like go around the Capitol, pick up trash. All right, so meet at 300 North at time, at noon, get a garbage bag, get some gloves, mm-hmm. and walk around. Mm-hmm. Posting that information meant like finding some dude whose name I can't remember, mm-hmm. and asking him when the next trash pickup was. Mm-hmm. Or, like I said with John, like organizing the materials request for the TAA stuff, being like, all right, so what's the deal here? What do you need? I can post that to the website.
Mm-hmm.
More broadly, I'd sent emails out, like trying to connect with the other union leaders was difficult. I'd sent emails out to a few different union representatives
mm-hmm.
from like AFSCME, from what's the other one? MTI.
Mm-hmm.
And asking them like if they have any information that they want posted to the web.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes they would say that like, no, we don't. Mm-hmm. We don't have any information. Sorry. So then the news stuff came from... just asking who... There's a woman from United Council
mm-hmm.
that also would come in and say things. Like, there was ACLU lawyer that came in that was
mm-hmm.
like, hey, we can... like. Hello TAA, this is who I am, this is what I can provide, like
mm-hmm.
this is what you should do. And so like posting that information, oftentimes because 300 North was actually a hub for a lot of that, though not the central place, but it was certainly a hub.
Mm-hmm.
People would come in and like give us information.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was that, and then so yeah, I don't know if that answers your question. It was
More in terms of news, I guess, like actual like political developments, what would be your source for that?
Okay, so actually, personally, I read, there's a budget blog, Wisk Politics, like budget.wiskpolitics.com or something
mm-hmm.
like that, and that was actually really good at updates. There were people that were feeding us information through Twitter and through emails, and that was another place that we got stuff from, and then we would have to verify it. One of the things that the Defend Wisconsin website did was it actually republished a lot of articles that we thought were relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole team of people that was already like trying to sort through news and send it, like sift through and find out what was relevant and what wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So we Martina, Jill, Jay, there's Ashley, there are a bunch of people, Magda, that had already started working on Defend Wisconsin was doing previously, that was basically taking major news sources and just funneling them all with respect to the happenings of Wisconsin, funneling them all to the site
mm-hmm.
so that people can stay updated on that. There's the in time events were basically like Catch a Sketch Can, like I wish there was one source. It was really fluid. People would come in and say like, this is what's happening,
mm-hmm.
and you'd say like, can we verify that, or like
mm-hmm.
what's going on? Like, are you sure? If we're not really sure about it, don't post it.
Mm-hmm.
If we are sure about it, then post it. So like things like Jesse Jackson is speaking at time X.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that are like really easy to verify. All right,
mm-hmm.
is that really happening? Yes, that's really happening. So let's post about it. Let's tweet about it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then other things were like on-site things. Like when the Capitol Police would... there was a cleaning, for example. There were people that were talking to the Capitol Police and were notified that there would be like a first floor cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And so like someone was out there verifying that that was actually happening
mm-hmm.
and that people shouldn't be afraid that they're getting kicked off the first floor because
mm-hmm.
it's not because the Capitol's closing, it's because they're going to try and clean the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that we would just tweet about repost, put up on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I wish I did more. I wasn't a journalist in any way.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, people would come in and be like, listen, this is what's happening. And it was like, are you sure that that's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. Then it's going up.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes that would come from like the presidents,
mm-hmm.
Alex and Kevin. And other times it would come from people, like, you just got to know who was in the loop and who was like, really trying to keep their ear to the ground as far as events happening.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come in and be like, yo, this is what's going on. Tell them, like, do, like, say, go out and post this. And
mm-hmm.
we would do that.
Okay. So to kind of change gears a little bit, do you think, or is there maybe one particular memory or experience or maybe overall message that you'll personally remember from this?
One?
Or a few. I mean, you can list as many as you want.
I mean, like, they've all been the emotional ones are the one, like the ones that you talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That I talked about earlier. Those are really vivid. I think those are things I'll remember for a really long time. I'm not sure that there are any ones that stand out above those. I mean, like, those, the emotional ones are some of the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd go with those, actually. I'd,
mm-hmm.
like, there's nothing...
Mm-hmm.
Those are why I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are why I, like, kept going.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything in particular that you would want other people to remember? That you would want to be kind of generally remembered about this?
There was such... One of the things that really bugged me... was the huge disparity, like, to use an overused quote that we laugh, like that some of us laughed about, like, the revolution will not be televised,
mm-hmm.
quote. There was such a huge disparity between major news coverage,
mm-hmm.
and the events that were happening. And then as a result, I felt like the major news sources were kind of downplaying it,
mm-hmm.
and only towards, like, at least especially in the beginning, but like later on Maddow picked it up pretty well. She's been doing a relatively good job about it, but I mean, like, it's not been covered the way that it wasn't really well covered. It wasn't covered the way that I would have been happy with. And so the people that were there, I think it's really important for them to remember, for everyone to remember, like, everyone that participated, for them to remember what it was like,
mm-hmm.
And to not let that be tarnished by the news and the major media that's rewrite the history of it,
mm-hmm.
because that's like, remember what you did, remember, like, I want people to have their own memories and not rely on the narrative of the media,
mm-hmm.
As heavily. Remember what that felt like, remember what you did, remember what you saw.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't thugs from out of state. They, like, they show these terrible clips of people, like, getting punched. Like, that's not what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
This was, like, don't forget your senses. Don't forget that you saw a bunch of peaceful protesting,
mm-hmm.
that you saw, like, tens and tens of thousands of people that were just voicing their opinion, like, in solidarity against,
mm-hmm.
like, a literally ignorant government,
mm-hmm.
machine. Like, that was what you saw, and that was what was happening. Like, the news sources, I feel like it's such a distilled, weird version, and the narrative that's getting painted, that the news sources painted, the major news sources painted, it was just so inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of crazy union protesters are like, no, this is not
mm-hmm.
what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like this was about the people. This
mm-hmm.
wasn't about the money. This wasn't about the budget. This was about finally 26. This is about, you know, like, people standing up for something that they believed in,
mm-hmm.
and regardless of whether or not it's right or wrong, the government sure as heck didn't listen.
Mm-hmm.
They just went on with their business,
mm-hmm.
And shoved it. They shoved whatever they wanted through the system.
Mm-hmm. So if you think that there's a lesson to be learned or some kind of message to take away overall, not necessarily from the people who are directly involved, but as a kind of larger community, what do you think that would be?
Which community?
Maybe a more national community, kind of what can we as Americans, to use that term really broadly, learn from this, and what kind of lesson should be remembered, maybe more than, I mean, not in like terms of memory, but I guess more moving back again to the I more like mentally thinking about it and that sort of thing. That's not a really well-phrased question or anything, but
so I think that there's the way that this, I mean, from my perspective, what I believe this is a step towards is a move away, like it's a step away from the apathy of a generation that believes that government doesn't do anything that they want it to do,
mm-hmm.
and towards, it's a step towards regaining agency over governance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want it to be. I don't know if that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So the lesson to be learned is like, we can, two things. One, you have to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that whole apathy thing, you can't, that's not gonna cut it anymore, because what happens then is just the people that do care,
mm-hmm.
the people that are the ones that tend to be caring about money and not about whether or not people that aren't making money are going to be okay. This
mm-hmm.
government is not inherently moral, and right now it's driven predominantly by investments,
mm-hmm.
and that's not legitimate anymore. If we're going to actually move forward and be and care about our neighbor, senso hippie, and we're actually going to move forward and inject some morality into the government, it needs to be by people who care about that.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be some agency, and it has to be based on morals or values,
mm-hmm.
and that has to be not based on capital, like capital gains.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing there's the first thing is care and do something, and then the second thing is there are people who are working against us.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind that there are enemies, quote unquote. There is a struggle to be had. There's a media outlet, there's a news source that is not going to televise
mm-hmm.
your actions because they don't want you hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can no longer rely on the narrative of the media to construct our social narrative. We can no longer rely on corporate-driven media sources
mm-hmm.
to inform us, because whether we like it or not, they have monetary investments involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's inadequate. So the second thing is keep in mind that there are people working against us.
Mm-hmm.
Against us. There are people working against the better interest of the population,
mm-hmm.
is, I guess, the way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not I'm in us or whatever. So, yeah. Get out, do stuff, and also watch your back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, that's pretty much everything, so.
Cool.
Thanks.